telecommunications network was so powerful, it was capable of sending 30 million text messages per minute.
President Trump speaks at the UN today. The World Health Organization, the latest to offer pushback over the Trump administration's claims of a link between women who take Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. The WHO's Tariq Yasarevic.
If the link between acetaminophen and autism were strong, it would likely have been consistently observed across multiple studies.
The WHO also denying vaccines are linked to autism. Variety's Brian Steinberg on Jimmy Kimmel Live's return to ABC stations tonight.
Disney prides itself on being a very creative company. A lot of Hollywood was against this. So I'm sure that Disney noticed very quickly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Should or can sheriffs in Kenosha and Walworth lock people up at the request of immigration agents? That's the question in a new ACLU lawsuit. The group wants the state Supreme Court to block the practice, saying it violates constitutional rights. An ACLU official says they aren't really warrants because they're not issued by a court or a judge. ICE sent over 700 of those requests to Wisconsin jails in just 7 months. Most communities comply. Kenosha, Walworth, and others are being targeted in the lawsuit because they detain the most. Lawmakers are split. Supporters say sheriffs should cooperate for safety, while opponents warn that it leads to wrongful arrests and broken trust in immigrant communities. Republican lawmakers announced new legislation yesterday to help the forest industry grow. Sholly Pittman has more.
Republican state lawmakers say they want to revitalize the forest industry in northern Wisconsin with a new biofuel plant in Hayward. A new bill would provide $60 million in tax credits and $150 million in state bonding to build the facility. The plant would be a partnership between Wisconsin-based Johnson Timber and Syntec Fuels, a German energy company. Senator Mary Falzkowski says the project could create about 150 jobs and generate over $1 billion in annual economic impact. The facility would convert 880,000 tons of wood residue into aviation fuel every year, with at least 80% of that wood coming from Wisconsin forests. Lawmakers say the bill would also improve forest management. They point to a drop in timber harvests since the 2020 closure of the Wisconsin Rapids paper mill. The bill was announced on Monday. If approved, production could begin in 2029.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A new pitcher for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
A new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman, called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres, 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL. The Packers had a field goal block Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly cloudy skies today. Some lingering instability could lead to a stray shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High temperatures right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 60. Currently, it's 62.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, unfortunately, more PFAS are showing up in Wisconsin's duck population. David Drake will be here to break that down and what that means. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 8:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 23rd, 2025. We have our Political Tuesday tag team coming up. Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital and Courier Newsroom and the Below the Beltway newsletter, talking about what's happening with the potential for a government shutdown and much more. So Cam Stevenson on the way, followed by Dan Schaefer at 8:35, Civic Media's political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, talking all about Wisconsin political news. But before we get to all of that, we welcome back meteorologist Brittany Merlot, along with Parker Olson, who's producing things down in Madison Studio A2. From Rob in Tigerton, it's sunny and 53 in Tigerton. It's sunny in Tigerton?
It's sunny in Wausau. I don't see a cloud, not any fog. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know if it's sunny here.
Locked in with you don't have a window, Parker. You can't. You couldn't tell. It could be raining frogs right now.
So hard. I can see windows, but I can't really see much.
Rob says he'll be back mowing grass after being off for 3 days because of the rain. Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see. What else did he have to say? Oh, he wanted to wish a happy birthday to his brother-in-law, Dave. His birthday was yesterday. He watched the Lions defeat the Ravens last night. I'm not going to put that kind of... I'll invest in Packer games, but I'm not going to be doing Monday Night Football with the Lions.
Seriously?
So, yes.
They're good now.
I know they're good now. That I'm not going to necessarily...
Not like watching the Browns play against the Packers.
Well, yeah, please. Alicia says it's cloudy in Green Bay. So now that we've given you just the most higgledy-piggledy sky condition forecast possible, Brittany, where does it all go from here?
Well, it's all going to lift and clear, and we are going to see, unfortunately, more clouds south. So Madison, Milwaukee area, and down that way, you're going to stick with more clouds because that front is parked right over Racine, dipping down into northern Illinois. But the good thing is that it dips. So that means all of the rain is going to be staying south of the state. So we're only looking at chances of maybe a spotty sprinkle or two midday. And it looks like that stays up north mostly. Then tomorrow, those spotty sprinkles wrap over Lake Michigan and stay southeast by Milwaukee, Green Bay, and into the Fox Valley. And then the whole system clears on out of here and a high pressure moves in, giving us nothing but abundant sunshine for the rest of the week, into the weekend, and even into early next week. It is going to be gorgeous. So we've just got to be patient with this fog in the mornings. This is going to happen again tonight and maybe tomorrow night in places. After that, the winds start to pick up and the fog should not be a problem. But we are looking at high temperatures today in the mid-60s north to mid-70s south. It will be mixed skies, more sunshine north, more clouds south. And then tomorrow, a little bit cooler, 60s statewide.
All right. Well, I heard on local Eau Claire media this morning, they were almost apologetic, like it's the first day of fall. And they're like, well, but it's not going to be fall. Like, it's going to be really warm today. I'm like, why are you apologizing for warm weather? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not snowing yet. They may as well have said, I'm like, no, it can be the first day of fall. It does not. We don't need highs in the 40s yet. Okay.
Not yet. No. We just want the fall colors and some sunshine. That's what we want for fall.
And that's
right?
the thing. We mentioned sure. that yesterday. It's kind of a nerve-wracking time that you don't want anything to happen storm-wise that, blows the leaves off before we get all the nice change of colors.
It's so true. So I'm glad we have this dry stretch ahead. Mm-hmm. Let those colors pop and big systems stay away.
Pop the colors, get the crops off the field. Exactly, Brittany. Yep. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Hey, let's talk newsletters for a sec here because it's the thing. Right now is you get to your email box and you subscribe to the ones that you like. It's like a morning paper or an evening newspaper, but you get the sections that you want to read and you don't have to get ink on your hands and throw the rest away. So that's why we talk about our daily newsletter and our weekly newsletter on Sunday mornings. You head over to upnorthnewswi.com. You click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage and sign up for one or both of those. Civic Media has a new daily newsletter filled with links to show highlights and more. Go check that out. CivicMediaToday.substack.com. Yes, I'll say it again. CivicMediaToday.substack.com is out there. And of course, Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, lots of state outlets, podcasts, newsletters. And if you want dispatches from Washington, D.C., well, Cam Stevenson puts one together from Capitol Hill. It's called Below the Beltway. And you can get details at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com, or just listen for the next 8 minutes or so as we talk to Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital. Cam, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, Pat. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I always feel like we have to start with, you taking your family and uprooting them, moving them from Arizona to the nation's capital. I feel like we get this almost like this reality series of, Cam, Cam moves the family, Cam to the capital. The family is there. How goes the adjustment? I know you were like in temporary quarters for a while. Are you in your new digs?
Not yet. It's a slow process in the housing market right now. So between finding someone to buy our place in Phoenix so we can find a place out here, it's a process. But gives us a chance to explore, figure out the neighborhoods and see what part of the city we like.
There you go. And we can play a role in that. If anybody is interested in buying Cam's house in Phoenix, just reach out to us through the radio station and we'll get you connected. We don't just do politics. We can do a little HGTV stuff here while we're at it. Okay, but you do have your day job of working as national correspondent for Courier Newsroom and looking at the recent edition of Below the Beltway. A few different topics in there. We've talked about the potential of a government shutdown at length already today. So let me set that one aside for a moment. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk killing, there has been what I'm calling a backlash to the backlash, where people said, look, we get that you are angry and upset that not everybody's a Charlie Kirk fan and that some people are actually speaking out about what Charlie Kirk stood for and said. But the backlash to that is coming awfully close to infringing or trampling upon people's First Amendment rights to freedom of expression. And you point out in Below the Beltway that, attempts to limit free speech didn't just happen recently and don't just happen to late night TV hosts. They happen in places like our classrooms.
Yeah. And actually, our conversation last week is kind of what inspired me to look into this. Is when we were talking about Representative Van Orden and his just aggressive, blatant use of his platform as an elected representative to call for people to be fired, for calls for people to be silenced because they use their free speech. I wanted to look into, the legality of that, which is dubious, depending on which court you take it to, I guess. But really how we got to the point where that was socially acceptable. And what I found is a lot of these attacks on free speech and attacks on honest intellectual conversation started in the classroom with attacks on public schools. Now, in Wisconsin, what's the public-private school situation there? Are there vouchers?
We have a voucher program that is undergoing explosive growth right now. And I know we've talked to you about the Arizona aspect of that. It's just gobbling up such a growing part of the state budget, and yet without the kind of oversight and transparency that the public schools get.
Yes. Yeah. It's a way to funnel taxpayers to corporate school companies, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the way that they do that is, one, by convincing state legislatures to let people use public tax dollars to pay subsidize private school, which sounds like you're all very familiar with. But what we don't look into too much is how it got to the point where there are enough legislators and enough people on board for that to even become part of the system. And it really started a couple decades ago with just sowing distrust in public education, sowing distrust in teachers, calling into question their ability to teach, while simultaneously taking away their ability to offer a strict classroom. Where parents were simultaneously being hands off while expecting their teachers to do everything. This was actually a very well coordinated plot by members of the far right to erode public education. And this serves two purposes. One, like I mentioned, it allows these private for-profit corporations to set up schools, take public tax dollars, and then either shut down or close out, certain populations that they don't want in their schools, usually divided by race and economics. And two, it allows them to essentially filter whatever they want their kids to learn. You know, they teach false history, they teach incorrect civics, they give poor examples of what leadership looks like. And so by the time these kids go through high school, you know, we have honestly the free speech problems that we have now, where people don't want to hear what they've been told is bad. People resort to violence, like what we saw with Kirk. And we see that public schools in Arizona anyway, and unfortunately I imagine this will happen soon in Wisconsin, is that public schools are going to start to close because they won't have enough money and they won't have enough students.
Yeah, we're talking to Cam Stevens, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, about, you know, that topic and more. And I also wanted to take note of something you wrote in Below the Beltway about Trump, President Trump, again, sending American troops into now a third American city without real justification. That, of course, would be, you know, Memphis, coming after Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. He continues to, you know, threaten to do the same with Chicago. And so tell the folks a bit about what you wrote about the decision to send troops into Memphis.
Yeah, so I've been interested in this topic for a lot of reasons. One, I live in a city that's being occupied. And two, it's something that that Trump has wanted to do since his first term and is now finally actualizing that dream. But what we're seeing is that once the National Guard gets to these cities, they aren't doing anything. You know, they're honestly ridiculed online for that because they sit around or they're, you know, picking up litter or what have you. But what I was wondering is why they keep sending troops if they can't do anything. And according to law, they're actually not allowed to do anything because military is forbidden from exercising domestic law enforcement. It's not their role. It's not what they're allowed to do. And it's not what they're doing, despite what the Trump administration is saying. They can't help with addressing crime, even if that was the goal. And so what I wanted to look into is, since they can't do that, why this expansion of troops? So I spoke with elected leaders in Memphis, in D.C., and in California. And what it seems to be is that they are essentially stationing troops similar to how military strategically stations troops prior to combat, where they see places where they're expecting there to be conflict. And so they're preparing their troops and preparing their forces preemptively so that when there is a conflict, they don't have to deploy and get them there, that they're already on site.
Conflict or midterm elections, as the case may be. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about that later as well. Cam Stevens's newsletter, Below the Beltway, you can get it at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com for all of Cam's dispatches from Capitol Hill. We still have in our next half hour Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area talking to us about Wisconsin politics before we wrap things up on a Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald, 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and I'm back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Her intro music is back, and that means one thing and one thing only. Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about not only the weather, but things that have to do with the weather, how we keep ourselves safe, how we keep ourselves prepared for what's going on. And today we're talking about a piece of technology that's designed to keep us safe when we're on the go, doing kind of those more extreme things out in the wild, whether we're in the air, on the water, or going for a real long hike. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, you want to take a listen. Brittany, it's always great to have you here talking about the weather, talking about what's going on in the world of weather. But today we're going to focus on something a little different, and that's keeping yourself safe. And there's a new device out there that you can keep on your person when you're traveling, whether you're on the land or on water. Tell us more about the personal black box.
Yeah, so a little bit of a dark topic. Maybe we, you know, try to stay away from that and thinking of the worst thing happening. But I like to plan. I like to be prepared. And I do like to venture out in the woods and places remote with no cell phone service quite often. So when I found out about this like personal black box tool that you can pretty much have on you wherever you are, I was pretty excited and felt, okay, I need this right now. So first learned about it, I was at EAA talking to people, and I met this lady from the Air Force. She turns out she works at the United States Mission Control Center, and she handles all the data and all the messages and all the signals from this system. So what it is, it's a worldwide search and rescue satellite-aided tracking system. 411 lives have already been saved from it last year. So it's already working. It's through NOAA, SARSAT, an emergency beacon. And this signal, basically, when it goes off, it can reach satellites up to 22,000 miles away in space.
Wow.
That satellite Yeah, it's really, really cool to think about. So that satellite picks up the data, it then sends it to a local user terminal, which is a receiving station that's here on land and stuff. And then that packages it up and sends it to the U.S. Mission Control Center, which grabs registration information, data on you, where it's at, who they need to call and contact. And it immediately goes to a local center where they send search and rescue, helicopters, boats, ambulances, whatever you need from that situation. So the key thing is you have to register it, right? So they know who's in trouble, who to contact, but it's always going to give that GPS location exactly where you are. And it's the quickest way to get a distress signal out and get help to you. And so they can find you pretty fast. It goes through clouds. It goes through extreme weather. It goes through no cell phone service. And when we were talking, she was like, no, you need this on a boat. You need it when you're hiking. You need it when you're kayaking. And I was like, okay, how does it go off in the boat? What are you doing? Do you have to push a button in the emergency or what? And she said that the boat ones actually have a tab on them that when they're submerged, it disintegrates and sends the signal on its own. So if you're already in trouble and you can't hit that button, it's going off regardless and help is on its way to help you, which I think is crucial.
That is absolutely amazing. That reminds me of the feature on a lot of smartwatches now where if you fall over, the watch can sense it and will request you tell them, have you fallen over? Do you need help? And if you don't respond in enough time, it will call 911 for you and relay the information. Now, is this an app? Is this a device? How much does it cost? How does one get one?
Yes. Okay. So you can find this pretty much anywhere, online, sporting goods stores. There are different kinds. So there's different prices for that. Mm-hmm. The ones for like airplanes, those will go off if they're smashed, right? So that's going to cost a little bit more versus a tab disintegrating versus one that you have on you. You can just Velcro it to you, wear it on a lanyard and push a button. Those are much more affordable. But yeah, you can find them anywhere. And I highly recommend it. And so does she. It was pretty cool to hear about. I mean, dark topic. You never want anything to happen, but if something happens, you want help as fast as possible.
Well, to be fair, though, Brittany, while it is a dark topic, we're talking about hypotheticals, and let's stay in the hypothetical and be proactive instead of having to be reactive on these matters. So it's always good to get this information out there. And this just sounds amazing. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. And it doesn't seem like the most modern of technology in as much as it feels like it's been around for a while. And this is the first time I'm ever hearing of it.
Same. And it has been around for a while. And it's just really cool to think about all of those satellites out in outer space could work to help us. Why don't I use them?
Love it. Now, what do we have coming up briefly in the weather this week? I know it got cooler last week. All of a sudden, it's 58 degrees. It feels like fall is coming here early. But what can we look forward to just in the days ahead?
Well, you know, another cold front coming through. How's that? Fall settling in. More rain. But hey, we stayed dry for a majority of the weekend. It was gorgeous for the holiday. But yeah, cold front moving through tomorrow should push a little bit of a quarter inch of rain or so through the area. But behind that, it does look like some mid-60s possibly Thursday and maybe some mid-60s as we go into the weekend as well. So fall weather is here. I mean, we saw frost advisories last week go out. I expect some more this week, possibly far up north. I don't think it's going to make its way here just yet, but hey, just know that the flannel weather is in full force.
I was going to say, time to bust out the flannel, time to put on those comfy wool socks, and as you put it, pumpkin spice and everything nice.
Yeah, hoodie weather, sweater weather.
Yeah, that's right. I'm deeply fluent in the language of hoodies, so I'm very much covered for the coming months. Brittany, thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate having you on the show, talking about not just the weather, but everything we need to know about the weather around us and how it affects us. And as you just put it, keeping us safe.
Absolutely. Got to do it. And I love it. Thank you so much, Greg.
Have a wonderful day, my friend.
You too.
Big thanks to Brittany Merlot for stopping by to talk to us about a very important thing. Always important to keep yourself safe when you're out there in the world. And if you want to read more from Brittany, that's simple. Go to civicmedia.us/news. There you will find a treasure trove of articles. And it's not just about the weather, but if you want to find out more, that's when you got to go to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach. And our guest is Pat Kreitlow, as well as David Drake talking to us about PFAS in our duck population. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. It's 8:29.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. While the federal ERA has yet to be ratified, a Wisconsin amendment has been introduced in Madison. Lisa Hale reports.
Two Wisconsin lawmakers introduced the Wisconsin Equal Rights Amendment to the legislature on Monday. Co-authored by Democratic Representative Breanne Brown of Whitewater and Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee, the ERA reads, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by this state or by any political subdivision of the state on account of sex, gender identity, race, color, sexual orientation, disability, religion, national origin, marital status, family status, age, ancestry, or any other immutable characteristic." At a press conference about the Wisconsin ERA, several individuals emphasized the importance of the bill, not only for women, but also for minorities. Sarah Long Radolph said, as a Black woman, she has seen the need for an ERA firsthand while working as a single mother in the Fox Valley.
"I was a woman making less money while doing the same job as my male counterparts."
The youngest of the speakers was 14-year-old Tova Levine. She said an ERA is crucial for today's children.
"Every single child deserves this. All religions, all genders, all sexualities, all races, all abilities. They deserve the Equal Rights Amendment."
The Equal Rights Amendment for the Wisconsin Constitution must be approved in two consecutive legislative sessions before it can be put before the voters on a ballot. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Dawson's Creek reunion was missing one of its biggest stars Monday night at a planned event to raise money for cancer. James Vanderbeek was supposed to be part of the read as he was the man of honor. The Varsity Blues star was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer last November, so Dawson's Creek castmate and friend Michelle Williams put together a table read of the pilot script that included original cast members Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson. Vanderbeek ended up having to bow out due to stomach pains, but had a pretty heavy hitter as an understudy in Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame. If you're a Tom Holland fan, your spidey senses were probably tingling over the weekend. The actor suffered a concussion on the set of Spider-Man Brand New Day. Variety reports that Holland was injured while filming in Glasgow, Scotland for the film that is set to be released next summer. This is the first time Holland has put on the spidey suit since 2021's Spider-Man No Way Home. I said the word spidey way too many times. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly cloudy skies today. Some lingering instability could lead to a stray shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High temperatures right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 60. Currently, it's 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, I ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get bread and fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who joins me in studio. Then Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin talks about fall events. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. She gave the State of Education address at the state capitol late last week, and so we will be talking to her about some of what she had to say about the state of education, and maybe if there was anything that didn't make the final cut, other things that she wanted to say in her remarks under the Capitol Dome. So we'll have her on. We will also have a guest who's an expert in public health policy. Kathy Hempstead is her name. She's a national health policy expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, talking about healthcare tax credits and what they mean for individuals across America, especially now that they're in danger of being slashed by that, you know, big bloated boondoggle that Donald Trump passed. Or maybe they'll get restored because that's what Democrats want, to avoid a government shutdown. Regardless, Kathy Hempstead will talk about that. She and Dr. Jill Underley, state superintendent, tomorrow here on the program. But this morning on the program, we have Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor for Civic Media. He's the founder of the Recombobulation Area, therecombobulationarea.news. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Mr. Kreitlow, good morning to you as well. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Where do we want to start here?
Where Let's do you go. Want to start today, Pat?
I want to start with a new package of bills, or maybe it's a single bill by Republicans about elections that essentially wants to swat a fly with a howitzer. The swatting the fly, the very easy thing to do would be to allow for Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes, not the ballots themselves, but verifying the names, the addresses, the witnesses, all that kind of stuff, so that then you can open them, run them on Tuesday on Election Day. Mm-hmm. That should be just a clean bill, should have been done years ago to get rid of that tired talking point about, you know, late night ballot counting in Milwaukee and other big cities.
It got close last time, too, as a standalone bill. It passed the assembly and hit roadblocks in the Senate. So yes. it did have some inertia to get that done. Unfortunately, didn't get across the finish line.
It did not. And so now to hear Assembly Minority Leader Scott Krug tell it, they've got a bill that'll do this. Oh, but by the way, there are some strings attached. Here come the howitzers. Dan, why did they make this so complicated to add webcams on municipal websites pointed at drop boxes and law enforcement, accompanying any visits to ballot boxes to move ballots? It's almost like they're not serious about wanting to do the easy thing, that they have to throw all these hard things on there too.
Well, they haven't been able to do the easy thing. That's part of the problem here. And I guess if nothing else, I have to give them credit for, you know, if something fails, try something different. And so they're trying something different. I'm not sure. I want to see some more of the details on what exactly they're proposing for drop boxes, what they're proposing for law enforcement. You know, I think there are so many of these election-related issues on the right that just comes down to telling your voters the truth about these things and telling your voters there is no conspiracy about late-night ballot dumps in Milwaukee. There is no conspiracy about ballot drop boxes. There is no conspiracy about, you know, the chain of I'm blanking on the word here, but there is no conspiracy and just like the possession of the ballots and all of that. And so much of that since 2020 in particular has just come down to being honest with your voters about this, being honest with your supporters. And, you know, so things don't spiral out of control and we end up with ridiculous Gableman investigations that spend millions of dollars and do nothing. Just like part of it is just you just need to be more honest with your voters about the reality of these things. But you know what? If that's not breaking through, I don't know if I'm going to end up agreeing with all of these measures that Krug and others are proposing here. But I do appreciate they're trying. They're trying to get this absentee ballot thing across the finish line. The GOP has concerns. Again, I don't think they're that legitimate about drop boxes. Maybe there's a simple way to address this to quell some of those concerns. Maybe there's a simpler way than what is being proposed here to address some of those concerns, but I do appreciate that they're trying. I appreciate that they're trying to get something done, and I always appreciate lawmakers who are taking a more pragmatic approach than just trying to do and say things to get headlines.
Well, and that's where I appreciate having you on, that you're essentially giving the benefit of the doubt to the Republican authors, saying, let's find a way to get the early processing done that might also address some people's concerns. And that is definitely a glass half full way of looking. And I completely admit that I'm taking the glass half empty view of it that says we don't want that. We want to continue the conspiracy. So we're going to add on some stuff that also claims, ties into conspiracies, that drop boxes are not trustworthy and things like that. So will something result from this that would pass and that would survive a veto by Governor Evers, or is this all just for show? I guess that's why you play the game, as the coaches like to say. It's why you hold the fall session and you see what comes out.
And I think too, I'm waiting to see the full rollout of this. This has passed the assembly. Representative Krug is in the assembly. Are there going to be any Republican state senators who are going to be getting on board with this too? Because that's where things stalled last time. If we're looking at the practicality of the path forward for some of these bills, like the early count bill passed in the assembly. It didn't in the Senate. So are there going to be people in the Senate joining for the rollout of this bill? I think that is an important factor to consider as well.
It really is, because it's something that, those of us who watch or have been in the legislature know very well, but most others do not, is that the difference in caucuses, the Assembly Republicans and the Senate Republicans are frequently not on the same page, maybe not on positions, but on strategy or on specifics. And the same can be said of House Republicans and Senate Republicans in the U.S. Capitol. And by the way, same goes for Democrats. It's just that we're talking about Republicans because they're in control right now. And I don't know how to explain it any other way than to say turf. These are turf battles between two different caucuses of the same party. And we see it a lot in the state capitol, in this case, especially with Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans.
Yeah, and it's such a good point. There is, this level of disarray, regardless of which legislative body you're looking at. But I think one thing that in among the Republicans here, Robin Voss has been the longest serving assembly speaker in state history, and he has been remarkably effective at getting his caucus to line up behind him on so many issues over the years, this being another one. But in the Senate, I think we're seeing, it has really been much more all over the place, especially lately. Like we had in the budget, you had the assembly minority leader and the Senate president, both Republicans, voting on opposite sides of the budget bill. And I think it was the first time in a really, 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 really long time that had been the case. And I think that is indicative of some larger tension and disarray that might be the case in among Senate Republicans. I think that is where, if you're looking at the outlook here for the next, year plus of governing in Wisconsin, You know, I think the Assembly might be able to get some things done with the Republicans might be able to pass some things in the Assembly. But are they going to get anywhere in the Senate when they have the Republicans are very much not on the same page? The Democrats are waiting to flip the Senate and win the majority there in a year from now. I think that, you know, they're already announced a number of very strong candidates that would have the opportunity to do that. You know, I wonder what kind of reaction we're going to see in the Senate.
And by the way, this next point is very inside baseball. I'm going to admit that first and foremost. But if you want to know if the two caucuses from the same party disagree on something at the moment, watch for the sign of one of them passing a bill and then adjourning, gaveling out a session, because that means the other house, the assembly, the Senate, can't amend it and send it back to them because they've already gone home. It's like, nope, this is here to final offer. We're going home. If you ever see that, instead of waiting for each other, working out their disagreements and all that, if you don't see that, there is dissension. It's why you see those headlines, Democrats in disarray or Republicans in disarray. And it's goofy. And again, it's a theme we've hit several times here is we all have to compromise in our day-to-day lives. And yet our politicians have sometimes the toughest time doing it. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media. Since our last conversation, there's been another candidate coming in for governor. Francesca Hong announced last Wednesday, 2 days after Senator Kelda Royce got in the race. What's your assessment of the gubernatorial field and, you know, whether we're at a, you know, a static state now or if we may be seeing more changes in the number of candidates in the near future?
Yeah, for one, I think we're gonna continue to see more candidates. I think this is going to be a pretty big field. But just to, you know, we talked a little bit about Roy's announcement when I was on the show last week. So let's talk a little bit about Representative Hong's announcement. So I wrote this too early breakdown of the governor's race that you can read over at the Recombobulation Area. And I kind of had a big four of top contenders, which included Sarah Rodriguez, David Crowley, Kelda Royce, and the one candidate who's one of the candidates rumored to be announcing, but has not yet announced, an Attorney General Josh Call. Not sure what's happening with his political future, but that's a conversation for another time. But I had listed Francesca Hong's potential candidacy on that list, and I characterized her as the wild card because I think that is the type of energy that she's going to bring into this campaign. She actually, I think, has embraced that a little bit. She talked about wanting to be the wild card in a few different interviews during the rollout last week. You know, I one of the things about her and her candidacy that's already evident and is going to continue to be evident is that she's going to be just working really hard. She's announced this statewide tour. She's having events all over the place. She's been super active online. And I think that is just going to put pressure on the rest of the field to up their game a little bit because nobody's going to outwork her. Having restaurant jobs in my past as well, nobody's going to outwork somebody who's had service industry jobs and working in restaurants. So I think, she's just going to make everyone else in the field work that much harder. And I think that's ultimately a very good thing.
Yes. And she is the one who, again, when we say wild card, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, at some point, these candidates are going to have forums, if not full on debates. And Fran Hong is among those, especially those in the Socialist Caucus, who have come out and said, not just we want to hike in the minimum wage, we want it to be $20 an hour. And now this is just an example, and I'm putting words in her mouth, but she's the kind of candidate who at a forum would hear somebody give an answer, yes, we need a higher minimum wage. And she would just right out say to that fellow Democrat, say it, just say $20. Why won't you say $20 an hour? And you know why they won't, because they don't want to be pegged down to a specific number. But Fran is the kind of person who'll be like, say it. $20, because otherwise maybe it's just $8 an hour. That's not going to work. And she's the kind of candidate who's going to hold fellow Democrats to the fire.
Yeah, and I also just think it's just almost this the blocking and tackling of a campaign, and she's just going to be out there talking to people and meeting with people and going all over the state, and I think that is going to make everybody else just kind of up their game in these things, and I think that is, that competition's a good thing. Competition brings the best out of us, and I think that is part of why we want to have a primary like this.
Yeah, and that's where I think, again, even though more candidates may be coming, I think even with the ones that are in already, it may not be much longer before we start to see these kinds of forums where they can, again, what was it you like to say? Iron sharpens iron.
And that's right.
You get that through just these kinds of things. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, and we will have some final news and notes with Dan and more from Lake Wissota. Coming up next, I'm Pat Quitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we have Waukesha's Rob Kuzner, professor at UWM, talking about power electronics and the multiple opportunities for students, local businesses, and so much more, doing great things for the Navy here at UWM.
Log on to waukradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha from 540 WAUK.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have State Superintendent Jill Underley, also Kathy Hempstead from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, on healthcare tax credits that Republicans in Congress and Donald Trump want to cut. They are at the center of the debate over a potential federal government shutdown. So all that and more tomorrow, but we're continuing things today here with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, Civic Media political editor, and also a guy who's doing a lot of stuff with a newsletter. And that would include Civic Media's new daily newsletter, Civic Media Today, on the one and only Substack.com. This is a project that's kept you busy, young man.
Sure has. Sure has. We've kept a lot of us busy. We've been putting a lot into this brand new newsletter. It's Civic Media Today. We're really excited about it. And it is just going to be a really terrific way for people to connect with all things across the Civic Media extended universe. There is, you know, links to live streams, Spotify podcasts, links to all of the news that we have from all over the state, led by our news director, Shally Pittman. And I think this is, you know, for those of you who may only listen to, you know, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, or may only know one other show on the network or something like that, this is a great way to engage with the huge amount of content that we produce every day across the Civic Media Network. And it's, I think it's going to be a really, and we have a little bit of fresh news to start things off each day with this newsletter. And I think it's just going to be a great one-stop shop to connect with everything, all things civic media.
And I say this as somebody who, you know, we've got an Up North News daily newsletter. We've got a weekly newsletter. I've got so many other newsletters that I like to look at. But I mean this very sincerely. This is one of the best designed, best put together newsletters of all the ones that I get, in terms of links to the shows, links to stories that you're working on. Obviously, we'd love if people subscribe to all these shows as podcasts as well. But if you're not, and you still want to see what seem to be some pretty important clips, you got to go see this. It's civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com, being put together by Dan Schaefer and a cast of thousands all across civic media land. There, among the stories you'd see there and others places, would be more campaign announcements, not just for governor, but also for seats in the state assembly and the state senate. It was a busy one last week. You know, Corrine Hendrickson announcing on our show here that she was running in the 17th Senate District, making her the third Democrat seeking to unseat Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. But we are definitely in campaign announcement season this time of year, aren't we, Dan?
We sure are, and those have really been ramping up in recent weeks, and a couple big ones here in the southeastern Wisconsin area over the past few days. So last week, Democrat Trevor Young announced that he would be running for state senate in District 21. Young is currently works for the city of Racine, and he previously served as an alderman there in his hometown as well. Trevor is a young guy, so this would be a big shift in that representation in that district. The guy who is currently the incumbent there, State Senator Van Wangard, who has been there in quite a long time. And this is as close to a 50-50 district as there is going to be in the state Senate map next year. Last year in the election, this Kamala Harris won this by 1 point, Tammy Baldwin by 2 points. Currently represented by a Republican incumbent, Van Wangard, who is also about the same age as Tony Evers. So we don't know if he's going to be running for another 4-year term there as well. So certainly one of the, you know, and this is one of the top potential pickup opportunities for Democrats on the state Senate map next year. There are three districts won by Kamala Harris last fall that are currently represented by Republicans that have not seen elections under new maps. So this is one of those three. And I think this is really going to be one to watch. I'm really interested to see if Wangard will run again.
And I would be the first to note that his predecessor, Democrat John Lehman, I served with him in the state Senate in that area, obviously not the exact same district with the new maps, but it would not be unprecedented to have a Democrat serving in that Senate district again for the first time in several years now. From a state Democratic Party standpoint, there's a new what do we want to call this? Well, they call it the Governor's Readiness Project. What is it that they're doing to help prepare the candidate field for 2026?
Yeah, so the Democratic Party of Wisconsin made this announcement yesterday that seems pretty interesting. It's called the Governor Readiness Project, and I think this is, you know, basically recognizing that there is going to be a big field in the campaign for governor, and that, you know, without wanting to put their thumb on the scale for any particular candidate throughout the primary. This is mainly the main focus here is to get the whoever the Democratic nominee is ready for the general election in November 2026. And I think part of this is because Wisconsin's partisan primary is in August, so it doesn't give people that much time to run in the general election. You know, I do think a long-term thing we should think about is moving that partisan primary to the April spring election to just to give candidates a little bit more time to run in the general. But perhaps that's a conversation for another time. But it's interesting to see the Democratic Party of Wisconsin be especially proactive about this. And Tony Evers is getting involved. A number of, you know, kind of top officials from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, including Chair Devin Remicker, are getting involved. And I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out in practice. But I think being this proactive about it is just really smart planning.
It is, because there's going to be a wealth of primaries in all of these legislative districts, in some congressional districts. And the worst thing that the Democratic Party, and I'm sure Republicans as well, have done at the state and county level is just sit on their hands and wait until there's a nominee and do virtually no preparation, no messaging or anything. So, like, for example, the Eau Claire County Party could do a lot to help facilitate the three Democrats running in the third district and not just sit there. So if the state party is showing that level of interest, activity, messaging, and preparation, that is a net positive for them. Read more from Dan Schaefer at therecombobulationarea.news and certainly through civic media. Dan, thank you. It's always good to connect. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
All right. Thanks to all of you as well for being part of our mornings powered by Up North News. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you back here bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
CBS News Brief. As the UN General Assembly gets underway, the Secret Service says it seized an illicit network of sophisticated equipment in New York capable of shutting down all cellular networks in the region. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
The investigation began earlier this year when a number of unidentified White House officials, including some protected by the Secret Service, started receiving anonymous threats over the phone.
When President Trump addresses the General Assembly next hour, Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be with him. Rubio tells CBS Mornings his boss will address U.S. allies who've recognized a Palestinian state.
You're never going to have peace in that region as long as groups like Hamas exist.
Global health officials pushing back on the president's announcement linking the active ingredient in Tylenol to autism. Swedish scientist Victor Ahlqvist.
Trump's administration seemed to have misunderstood the available evidence. I think that this is an alarming message and it's an ill-backed message.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.